Proverbs chapter 1 is where we are today. Well, Sarah met Daniel in college. He was tall, funny, had a quiet confidence that drew people to him. She liked him almost immediately, not just for how he looked, but for the way he listened when people talked. She found excuses to study near him in the library or to join the same volunteer project. Daniel, though, never seemed to notice her in that way. He liked her, but only as a friend. He said she was nice and said once to a mutual friend, "But really not my type." And that stung. Sarah eventually accepted that nothing was going to happen between them. Life went on, graduation came, jobs began, and they drifted apart. About 3 years later, they reconnected at a friend's wedding. Sarah had changed, more confident, more sure of herself. Daniel noticed immediately. They talked all evening, laughed like old friends. For the first time, he saw in her what she had seen in him years before. After that night, Daniel started texting Sarah. He asked her out for coffee. He texted, "I think I finally realized how great you are. I was an idiot back then." But by then, and he was, by then, Sarah's heart had moved on. She started dating someone else, someone gentle and kind who liked her from the start. She told Daniel honestly on a phone call about these feelings. They stayed friendly, but Daniel later admitted to a friend that losing his chance with Sarah was one of his biggest regrets. He said this, "I didn't see what was right in front of me. I didn't see what was right in front of me." Friends, today, there's a similar story in God's word. Lady Wisdom is less timid than Sarah, but she is right in front of us. And some people don't see what is right in front of them. And by the time they realize it, it is too late. As we continue our series in the book of Proverbs entitled Walking Wisely in a Foolish World, we will find in chapters 1 through 9, there are many analogies to the two paths that we all have in life, that we will all walk, either the path of life or the path of death, the path of wisdom or the path of folly. And today, there's a personification of wisdom. It is Lady Wisdom. If you reject her, oh man, like Daniel rejected Sarah, you will regret it. Today's overarching theme is this. Here's kind of the main point. If we reject wisdom, wisdom will ultimately reject us. If we reject wisdom, wisdom will ultimately reject us. Let's look at Proverbs 1, starting at verse 20. Wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the market. She raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. "How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand, and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproofs. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despise all my reproofs. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Oh Lord, we pray you would help us heed the serious words, the serious call of wisdom today. By your Spirit, help us. Help us have such soft hearts, Lord. Quick to learn and apply your word. In Jesus' name, amen. First point is this, the vast call of Lady Wisdom. The vast call of Lady Wisdom. In today's passage, we find the first of three speeches from Lady Wisdom in the book of Proverbs. Wisdom cries out in the street. Wisdom cries out in the markets. Wisdom cries out at the entrance of the gates. Lady Wisdom is saying, wisdom is not hidden. It is not some secret. It's not just for the elite. It's not just for the mystics. It's not this secret knowledge. You need that cool secret code or decoder ring. Like, that's not how wisdom works. Living God's way in God's world is all around us. Romans chapter 2 says it's written on our hearts. We know what we should do, and we know what is wise. To care about others, to love our parents, to be kind, to be generous, to work hard. Everybody knows that. Everyone knows this wisdom. Recently, I was re-listening to Nancy Piercy's book called The Toxic War on Masculinity, which is a fantastic book. Piercy is a professor in Houston, and she studied under Francis Schaeffer. She talks about in the book a study that was done across many countries and many groups of men. And these groups of men are gathered and they're given this kind of illustration and they're trying to get what is the answer. They have these groups of men and they say, okay, imagine you're at a funeral and at the funeral someone up on the stage says, he was a good man. What does that mean? What are they trying to communicate when they say he was a good man? And across socio-demographics, across cultures, whether they were like military personnel or immigrants or whatever, like the same answer came across them all. When someone says, what does it mean to say he was a good man? Well, here were some of the answers. He cared about others. He provided for others. He protected his family. He took responsibility. Here's my question. How do they know that? Many of these are non-believers. Many of these people have never cracked open a Bible. How do they know that? Because God's word is written on our hearts. Because God made us as image bearers. Because this is God's wisdom. Lady Wisdom calls out, take heed, live wisely, live according to the God that created you. Live in reality. Not in some made-up story, not in some theory. In verse 20 and 21, it says that wisdom calls from the streets, calls in the markets, calls at the entrance of the city gates. There's this vast call. In today's language, we'd say wisdom calls on the internet, at the sporting event, at the school board meeting. Wisdom's calling. It is all around us. Wisdom points toward our Creator. We're created beings. We are to bow to our Creator, to live as He says. Ray Ortland puts it this way, though. Lady Wisdom is demanding. This is not some quiet lady sitting in the corner going unnoticed. No, she is calling out. She is making demands. This is God using this analogy of Lady Wisdom to personify, we need to heed this. We need to heed God's wisdom. She's going to give many warnings to those who don't heed her call. Lady Wisdom is going to give warnings to those who don't heed her call. This is important that we live in reality, the reality of God's world, the reality that we live in God's world. And when we ignore God's wisdom in God's world, that's called foolishness or folly. Let me just give you a little illustration of how this breaks down if we don't live by how God created the world. Imagine with me that later today, you're watching an NFL game on television. And there's a team, you can call out whatever team you hate. This team decides they don't want to play by the rules. They actually don't like the rules. They actually feel like there should be five downs instead of four downs. Or that field goal is not 3 points, it's 10 points. Or that, you know what, not 11 guys on the field, we're going to have 15 guys on the field. What would happen? There would be chaos. There would be, like, what in the world? The other team would be like, what's going on? The scoreboard says this, but we know that was wrong. Wait, how many downs do we have? How many men are on the field? There should be penalties, but they're, like, bucking the referees. Like, it would be chaos. The game would end before it even got started very much in the first quarter. Why? Because the NFL rules are the ones that everybody agrees to because that's the way you play the game. Guys, there's rules to the game of life, and God set them. And when we ignore those, we're doing the same thing, and it is called foolishness and folly when we ignore God's wisdom. There's folly, and there's consequences to the folly. Not because we don't know the rules, not because we don't know what wisdom is or it's not available to us, but we choose to ignore wisdom. And there are serious consequences, and Lady Wisdom is going to speak into that. Point number two is this: the consequences of ignoring Lady Wisdom's call. The consequences of ignoring Lady Wisdom's call. Look at verse 22. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproofs. And it goes on to talk about the consequences of that ignoring. Friends, God calls out through the voice of Lady Wisdom, how long will you love being simple? Love scoffing. Love being a fool. The call for wisdom is vast, but humanity, without exception, is running away from God's wisdom. And notice there's three categories of people that this passage speaks of. Lady Wisdom speaks to. There's the scoffer, there's the fool, and there's the simple. The scoffer's the worst of these. Ray Ortland does a really good job explaining kind of definitions of each of these. The first is the scoffer. He says this: a scoffer is an aggressive, confident, calculated person, outwardly impressive, often successful, but he will slit your throat. The scoffer is an aggressive, confident, calculating person, outwardly impressive, often successful, but they will slit your throat. They are actively opposing God. The scoffer is what Psalm 1 says, the worst. They not only are like walking in the way, they are sitting and mocking. They remind me of the tree. If you've ever been hiking or backpacking and you see this tall tree and you see another tree by it and a tree had fallen over and you look in the tree, and actually it rotted from the inside out. Outwardly, it would have looked like it was very beautiful and healthy, but inwardly, it was full of corruption. You ever seen one of those trees, and like it's hollow on the inside, and you're like, oh my gosh. That's the scoffer, hollow on the inside, trying to prove to be holding their own, proven mocker, but on the inside, they are rotten to the core. That's the scoffer. That's a image for us. Second category is the fool. A fool always knows, this is what Ray Ortland says, a fool always knows better and always has an excuse. Nothing's ever his fault. Always has an excuse, never at fault. This is probably a step like better than the scoffer, but on the road to becoming a scoffer. This is the path of the scoffer. They want to act like they didn't know Lady Wisdom existed. They didn't actually hear her. They make excuses. They don't take responsibility. They're the perpetual victim. The image I get in my mind with this is you're driving down the highway and you got that guy on a motorcycle going like 100 miles an hour weaving in and out of traffic. And you're like, I'm going to see him dead on the side of the road in like 10 miles. And you're just, that's the fool.
you hit a pothole, somebody changes lanes without a blinker, you are dead. That's the fool. That's the picture. But Lady Wisdom keeps going. The third category, the simple. The simple, Ray Ortland says, are not sure what they're living for. They tend to follow and conform, which means they still have a chance at wisdom. Lady Wisdom is actually calling out most here to the simple, to come. Come before you become the fool and before you take that path of the scoffer. The image I have in my head here is, imagine like going to the water park and there's the wave pool and you see that kid that's in the float and they're just like going back and forth. They have no control of which way they're going, and like mom or dad or somebody has to like pull them in to help them. That's the simple. They're just tossed to and fro. They have no control. They have no foundation or firm place to go. But Lady Wisdom is saying, come to me. Start paddling. Start kicking your feet. The simple or the spiritually immature, which we all start out that way. But there is hope for them to mature. There's hope for growth. Lady Wisdom is warning and seeking to persuade. But it is not gentle persuading that Lady Wisdom says. Bruce Waltke says it this way: Lady Wisdom is no gentle persuader. She shouts and pleads and scolds and reasons and threatens and warns and even laughs, kind of mockingly. Like, she is serious. Remember, this is a path of life or death. Waltke also says that Lady Wisdom's probably speaking to those who ignored the Proverbs advice earlier in chapter 1. If you were here last week, we talked to the kids and the teenagers. The parents were given some wisdom about how you need to think about life in the world, that there's not just easy money. There's counterfeit community offering things to you. There's envy, and it will destroy your soul. So what Waltke thinks is like, this is the next step. These are those former teenagers who did not heed mom and dad's advice, and now these are the 20 and 30-year-olds. And Lady Wisdom has some words for you. Don't ignore wisdom's instruction. But notice, in the midst of the firm warning that's coming, there's grace. Look at verse 23. Even as the people are running away foolishly, hardened in their folly, wisdom says this: if you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. You hear echoes of our Savior there. Oh, if you turn. Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. God is not hiding. God is not silent. God is calling for repentance. That is wisdom. The wisest thing we can do is turn from our selfishness and foolishness and turn to Christ. And that means repenting of our sins and saying, I can't do this. My life is broken. That's what humanity needs to do. Humanity needs to see their need. Humanity needs to see their brokenness. Humanity needs to see that life is not working the way we thought it would. And if this is really Lady Wisdom speaking to those in their 20s and 30s, we see it. I'm in my 40s, but if you're in your 20s and 30s, do you see this? Do you know, just in the U.S., the fastest growing demographic of people on antidepressants, 18 to 34. People are starting to see life is not working. Life is broken. I've had lots of pain in my life at that point. You've learned kind of the childishness of thinking and dreaming of things in your teens, and then you're like, oh, this will happen, and it doesn't, or you've been hurt by relationships or parents or something. You realize life is hard. That's what comes. Life is broken. But Lady Wisdom, God's speaking through Lady Wisdom and says this: I will make my words known to you. God is there, and he is not silent. Friends, this is so kind and patient of God. Let Lady Wisdom whisper in your ear. Heed her call. She will give you God's word. She will hold your hand and take you to the vast mountains of God's goodness, love, and grace. Friends, don't ignore the gracious offer of God today. Hebrews 3, 12 and 13 says this, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called," what? "Today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Take care, this passage says, today. Take heed today. Don't be hardened today. You don't know how long this offer of God's wisdom will be there where you'll actually receive it. Because what we find is if you ignore wisdom, like the opening illustration, if Sarah was in your life and you didn't see her, you didn't know what was right in front of you, you will regret it. If we reject wisdom, wisdom will ultimately reject us. And that's what we see as we continue our passage. Verse 24 says this, "Because I've called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof." Oh man, Lady Wisdom is called. She's offered her hand to help. She's given reproof. And everybody's ignoring and rebelling. And now she says, there's consequences, guys. Look at verse 26. "I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you." Lady Wisdom is serious. There are major consequences when we ignore wisdom. We begin to reap consequences of trying to ignore God's reality and God's way. Friends, this reminds me of Jesus when he gives the illustration of where we build our house, where we build our life. The wise man builds his house on the rock, Jesus says. There's a firm foundation of God's truth. They build their house. The foundation is rock. It is steady. The foolish man, Jesus says, builds his house on the sand. The storm comes and it blows away. But here's the thing, the storm comes to both. Friends, the storm of life is coming. Not just for the wise, not just for the fool. All of us. But what is our foundation, Jesus says? The storm demolishes worldly wisdom. The storm strikes terror. And here's one of the things we've got to question as we look at this passage in Proverbs 1. Whose fault will it be when your life crashes? If you ignore wisdom, whose fault will it be? This text says it's the fool's fault. Remember, the fool continually blames others, is the perpetual victim. Friends, we must not fall for the foolish logic of passive human agency, thinking that we aren't really responsible for our own consequences. Proverbs shows over and over again that we reap what we sow. Now, is that always the case? Is that always 100% of the case? No. If you keep reading wisdom literature, if you read Job, that's not the case with Job. So we've got to have the holistic view of wisdom literature. But God's sovereignty ultimately rules. God tells us that there is human agency. We are responsible to repent for our sins. We really are responsible to heed the wisdom God has put in the world, that he has given us. Derek Kidner puts it this way, "In the end, the way of the fool is his own fault." But the consequences are not just that these fools will have terror strike or have calamity. There's a moment, I've seen this in my life, you may have seen this in your life, there's a moment when people start to cry for help from Lady Wisdom and it's too late. She has moved on. She has already said, or you have already said, you're not interested. You've already called Lady Wisdom ugly. Don't come running back when things get bad. Remember what she offered in verse 24? Verse 24, "Because I," Lady Wisdom, "called and you refused to listen." She called. She reached out her hand to rescue you and you slapped it. Verse 28, "Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. Friends, thinking about wisdom as a lady, I just love what Solomon does here in writing the Proverbs, the personification of wisdom as a lady. Just think about this wisdom as a lady here. What lady is going to stick around when she's called ugly, when she's refused over and over, when she offers help and it's like slapped down? Like, what lady's going to do that when she's mocked and desecrated and reviled? Lady Wisdom's like, oh, now you want to come back. Now that my counsel actually proves to be right, now that you really feel the consequences of what I told you would happen. Friends, right here we see no mercy from Lady Wisdom. She's saying, you are reaping what you sowed. You are harvesting what you planted. You plant folly and rebellion, you reap destruction. But notice Lady Wisdom's speech and the link to God in verse 29. They hated knowledge and did not choose what? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord's there. It's offered. It's earlier in chapter 1. What's the whole summary of Proverbs? What's the wisest thing to do? Fear God, respect God, be in awe of God, rest in God, know God. She said, you rejected that. They did not want to honor and respect Yahweh. And now they're surprised in Yahweh's world that their rebellion is being disciplined and punished. What? I mean, the Creator says, do this. You rebel against the Creator. Then you're surprised that there's consequences. Friends, Lady Wisdom's trying to warn us to give wisdom. There are moments where our hearts are so hard, we will not turn in godly sorrow. We will not cry out in repentance. We might cry out in pain. We might cry out in worldly sorrow because we don't like the consequences that we are suffering, or we got caught red-handed. We don't like life when it's not working. We don't want to live in submission to God. Psalms 95 says this in verse 6 and 7. It says this. I love this passage. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as at Meribah, as on the day at Massa in the wilderness. Friends, the first part of that passage gives us like, hey, here's who we are. And he's talking about Israel, God's people. We're the sheep of his pasture. Like, God chose us, right? So let him shepherd. But then it also goes like, but whoa, let's not harden our hearts. Guys, we're capable of having hard hearts. We're capable of coming to church every week and having hard hearts. We're capable of living for years like the scoffer who looks like that tree, looks big and tall and safe and strong, but on the inside is rotting. And one day falls over, and we're like, what? What was going, what? We've been lied to for years? Guys, I've seen it. It's heartbreaking. Don't harden your hearts. And when do we not harden our hearts? It says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And it draws this line to Meribah and Massa. What's going on with Meribah and Massa? That's where Moses, who often was a godly guy, but he was hardened at that moment and struck the rock. And guess what happens? He disobeys God and he does not enter the promised land. He does not enter the promised land. Guys, if we have a hard heart toward wisdom, we don't enter the promised land because we are proving out to be non-believers. We don't enter the new heavens, new earth if we're constantly rebelling against the guy we say is our king. if we're constantly living lives of rebellion against the Creator. And they're like, no, but I walked an aisle when I was 9. Well, I was baptized when I was 12. There are many who say, Lord, Lord. But Jesus says, I never knew you. Those who persevere to the end will be saved. Friends, in the South, there are a whole host of people who cling to something that happened when they were a kid, but who are living in rebellion as an adult and thinking, oh, it's fine. I have my ticket. Jesus is not a ticket. Jesus is a king. You bow with your life or you don't. Friends, let us be those who live in the grace and joy of the king, who don't reject wisdom, but love wisdom. If we reject wisdom, wisdom will ultimately reject us. But friends, Lady Wisdom has one more verse, and I'm so glad there is one more verse in this passage, because you're like, oh man, Mike, this is heavy. It is heavy. It's very heavy. But look at the last part, the last verse, and here's the last point, the reward of heeding Lady Wisdom's call. The reward of heeding Lady Wisdom's call. I'm so thankful for verse 33, because it'd be a very depressing passage without verse 33. It says, but whoever listens to me, Lady Wisdom says, whoever listens to me will dwell secure, will be at ease without dread of disaster. If we listen to Lady Wisdom, if we heed God's ways in God's world, there is security, ease, rest that we live in. When we live God's way in God's world, life works best. Wisdom's not some additive to our fuel system to make life work a little better. Wisdom's not a garnish on our plates. Wisdom's not a seasoning salt on our food. Wisdom is how life works. Why? Because this is God's world. And life works God's way in God's world. That's reality. That's what Proverbs is trying to show us. Now, verse 33 speaks of dwelling secure and being at ease. Now, it does not mean like that hurricane's coming toward Charleston and like it skips your house. Like, that's not what it's meaning. And like, whoop, a little blip there on the radar screen. Or that cancer somehow skips us. That's not what it's promising. This is general ways. That's what Proverbs is showing. That's the genre. And Christopher said several weeks ago, we don't want to make a genre mistake. He said, this is generally how it works. If you are a follower of Jesus, you don't have to live your life waiting for the other shoe to drop. Do you hear that? You don't have to live your life, if you're a follower of Jesus, waiting for the other shoe to drop, waiting for consequences to come of your sin. Why? Friends, your consequences, your sin was placed on Jesus at the cross. So when Romans 8 says, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, we aren't living in that fear. You know that fear. I've said this before. I know that fear when I was a teenager and I did something and I knew that was going to come out at some point. My mom or dad were going to find it, and then my mom would use my whole name. And then I'm like, oh, what did she find out? Right? So it was the whole name. I was Michael to her. But when I got the Michael David Seaver, like, that was like, oh man, something's coming. I was waiting because I knew I had sinned. I was waiting and living in wait. Friends, if we know Jesus, that's not how we live. That's called condemnation. And Romans 8 says, no, Jesus paid for that sin. Friends, Lady Wisdom's call is embodied in Christ. To love wisdom is to love Christ. Friends, consider verse 33 when it says that we are to listen. Lady Wisdom says, whoever listens to me. It reminds me of God the Father on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter's like doing his little thing of like, I'm going to make tents for Moses and Elijah. And he's kind of freaking out. And the Father just interrupts everything and says, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Lady Wisdom says, listen. The Father says to you and me, listen to Jesus. Friends, are you and I listening? Are we listening to King Jesus? Do we listen to Jesus in every aspect of our lives? Do we hear his love and grace sweep over us in temptation to condemnation? Do we hear his grace saying, my grace is sufficient for you in the midst of our suffering? Do we listen to his word when he says, do not be anxious for anything? Cast your cares on me because I care for you. Think on what is pure and lovely and true. Do we believe these passages of scripture and hold on to them? Do we listen and apply them to our lives? Do we listen to him, how he speaks about how we spend our time, our money, our free time? Do we listen? He is not silent, and he is not distant. And he's not confusing. He's actually very clear. His calling to his people is just as loud and clear as Lady Wisdom calling in the streets, in the marketplaces, in the city gates. But friends, we must listen. Friends, if you don't know Jesus as your king, let me just give you something you should listen to today. In Matthew chapter 11, this is for believers and non-believers alike, but just listen to this. Jesus says this, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And get this, you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Friends, there's an invitation that Jesus speaks, and here's what you and I need to do. Listen and receive. He says his yoke is easy. If you were back in an agricultural society and you had ox that were like pulling the plow, if you were the ox, you would like to be yoked with a stronger ox. It helps you. That like is nice to have somebody that's as strong or stronger than you that actually helps your shoulders and that kind of ox work, okay? His yoke, the yoke, the straps that you have on you as you live your life, he says, take mine. I'm going to walk with you and I'm the stronger one. You just walk alongside me. You live with me. You, here's what he says, follow me. You live for me. You do what I say. You go where I tell you to go. You live this way and you will do well, my friend. Listen to your king. Rest in your king. Lady Wisdom is guiding us by her hands and saying, come to Jesus. And friends, if you are a believer, let me give you something to listen to. John 15, 9 through 11 says this. This is Jesus talking. He says this, as the Father has loved me, get this, so I loved you. Friends, you are loved by the Savior. As the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Friends, you are love. Now abide, stay, be steady in that love of Christ. Walk out obedience. That's what people who love, they walk that out. I love my wife, so we have relationship together, right? It's if she's like, hey, can you go pick up the kids? I'm not like, oh! Like, I'm like, okay, sure. Like, we that's love. It's not a big deal. We walk it out, right? It's called love. You abide in love together. You abide there. And guess what? When you abide in the love of Jesus, it says what happens. There's joy. There's joy in relationship with Jesus. Friends, there's joy. Listen to Jesus. There's joy in relationship with him. Lady Wisdom is calling for us to not have hard hearts, but to have wise hearts that seek Christ. C.S. Lewis said this. He says, there are only two kinds of people in the end. Those who say to God, thy will be done. And those whom God says, thy will be done. Either we submit to God's will, your will be done, God. We walk the path of wisdom, or we follow our own will. And God says, you're done. You're finished. Eternal death and hell. Either we say, thy will be done. We follow the creator and king, or we follow our own path, which Proverbs over and over and over says is the path of destruction. Friends, this passage is super clear. If we reject wisdom, wisdom will ultimately reject us. But friends, we have a moment, we have an opportunity, even today, to not reject wisdom, to heed wisdom's call, to remember the path of destruction that we don't have to live on. We can, even right now, repent of our sins and turn to Christ if we've never known him and trust him as our king and walk this new path of life. And friends, if you're a believer but you feel yourself stepping back, you feel your heart getting harder, there is a sweetness of Jesus saying, I love you, abide in my love. You can repent right now because I paid for that sin on the cross for you. Friends, let's sing together. Let's stand together and sing our story as we sing this song. It's called All I Have Is Christ. The first couple verses just tell our story. Let's stand together and sing.